Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio named Opa.
That's right. That was a new opening there that we're working out. We're working out some of the kinks here, as you can tell.
Yeah, we're a little rusty.
Yes.
Don't know what to do all the time. Yes. This is Kevin.
Yeah, we're like the original American Vacation movie. There was a little rusty, if you remember.
Oh.
Not the recent one with Ed Helms. Because he was actually Big Rusty.
Yeah, he was adult Rusty.
So that wouldn't make sense in that case. But anyway, as I was saying, we are coming back from a little break. But, you know, we have got topics worked out.
We have a lot of movie topics this week.
Yeah.
And that was a good idea to lump them together. I am going to try to get this up to... well, at least go with the theme of this week, Ken, and that has been Back to the Future Day happened.
Yes.
Or Back to the Future 2 Day happened.
Well, I mean, you could argue about that, Kevin.
Yeah, it was referenced at the very end of the first movie, so...
That is where that they did... Well, what am I trying to say here? That is where they traveled to at the end of the movie.
Correct.
So... I don't know. To me, it's a gray area. Although you don't actually go there to see it, Doc Brown was already there. So it seems like it's within the realm of the first movie still somehow to me. But I see what you're saying.
It's still real to me, damn it. It's still real to me.
So we should say, just in case someone's been, I don't know, living under a rock, or maybe there's a time traveler just arrived from 1955, you don't realize this, but we've just passed the day where, as you say, in Back to the Future Part 2, Marty, Doc Brown, and Jennifer travel to solve a problem with their kids, right? Yeah. So,
yeah,
I can remember seeing this movie. I don't know if I mentioned before, Kevin. The day that it came out, the matinee, like, I think this was before, at least they didn't have them in Altoona, midnight screenings. of movies. So like, yeah. I went to see the matinee, like the day it came out. And I was so pumped for this movie because like the way that they had it to be continued at the end of Back to the Future, because they were working on a sequel, or at least I think they did that for the home video version. I'm not sure, but it always implied there was going to be, action to come.
Even if there wasn't any wording, I suppose I did always expect, with the way the ending happened, it's just like, oh, okay, there's going to be an... And, you know, that's kind of funny. Like, nowadays, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is going to be a franchise movie.
Right.
And I just kind of move along. Back then, you didn't really think, oh, this is going to be a franchise movie.
No, there was not a lot of that back then. So this was, one reason I think people are so fond of it is because it was, like, its own little kind of little universe there of three movies tied together.
Much like any other trilogy, the third movie gets pooped on a lot.
I don't know. I've seen that movie probably as many times as I've seen the other ones for some reason, because it was on HBO. I remember when I was still living at my parents' house and we had it on quite a bit, but,
I feel like, I saw that one most recently because it was just the part of the marathon that they were in. So I feel like they had a marathon earlier this year of the Back to the Future movies, somewhere. And, I'm pretty sure I caught the third one. I'm just like, okay, you know, like, it wasn't horrific.
No, it
was not the better of the movies, clearly.
It was pretty much DeLorean-free, which was, it's kind of hard to pull off because that kind of was, like, a lot of the draw for the movies.
Because I spent, I'm pretty sure, my entire youth hoping that when I turned 16, I would be able to get a DeLorean.
Yeah.
Much to my chagrin, I did not know the backstory that maker of them was a little too coked up and went bankrupt, I believe.
As I believe happened in the 80s from time to time.
Yeah, John DeLorean was not good with his money, one way or the other.
But you still, I still do see a few of them, or at least I have seen one or two recently, so within the last few years. They're out there is what I'm trying to say, but...
And I was amusing myself this week, debating whether my car would make it up to 88 miles an hour or not. Because that was one of those factoids that I'm not like a super, I love the movie, but I haven't really gone out of my way to watch it like a lot of people recently. Like, I feel like I've heard this buzz about this year coming up for a couple of years now.
Right. Well, there was like, every so often they would have like a weird hoax where they'd be like, this is the day that they went to in the future or in Back to the Future. It's like, wait, no, it's not. And then it actually is the day this week. So it's kind of like, you know, I'm sure some people feel like this has happened before many times, and in a way it has. But isn't that fitting for, you know, when we're dealing with a movie that, that actually explicitly deals with time travel and paradoxes like that?
Yeah, I think that that's what kind of gives it a little more gravity, I guess, in this situation, is the fact that much like Twin Peaks, they mentioned a specific time frame to come back.
Right. Yeah. And it's, I mean, but does it, did you feel at all like when you heard that this week was the date that they traveled to in the movie? Were you at all affected by that, or were you like, couldn't care less?
I mean, it's kind of cool, and I love the people that are... I actually enjoyed Neil deGrasse Tyson kind of going off a checklist of what we do and don't have, because it was more just like people were centering on the hoverboard.
Right.
And there were some other things that...
self-drying jacket. I don't think we have those that I'm aware of.
What is it? The self-velcroing shoes?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, don't have those. Because I felt like there were a lot of things that people were concentrating on, and he was bringing up other examples. Because I guess Doc Brown had a personal camera. So it was like a cell phone. It was like the size of a cell phone camera. It's gotcha. Like, yep, have that. And then they did the a thumbprint to unlock something. Yep, oh, got that. Because it seems like people always concentrate on the stuff that we don't have.
Right.
From the movie.
And you kind of forget some of the things. And, like, I think video calling was another one that they mentioned Marty McFly famously fired over a video call with his boss, who was really a broadly Japanese character, I guess. come to think of it. One thing that we don't have is steamed pizzas, Kevin.
Did they actually have steamed pizzas in that?
Well, yeah, I remember they had, like, little pizzas that they, like, took out of the freezer, and they put it in this, like, steaming contraption, and then it would like expand and like be a full-size pizza.
Yeah, there's some things that because that I feel like the Jetsons had something similar. I was like, the more I have gotten into cooking, the more I find that idea disgusting.
Yeah, but what would it have to be made out of that it would like start out so small and then just like expand, you know? That can't be
if we can get the genetics to modify to the point where we can shrink wrap them and then rehydrate them, like that'd be kind of weird.
Or what if it's just like some kind of nanobot soup that it's just turning the environment into some kind of pizza at the molecular level and assembling it for you to eat. Just in time, food preparation. Yeah. I bet you didn't think of that one, Kevin.
No, didn't think of that one. But not even a little bit.
That's the sort of thing we might be dealing with, you know, within the next 6 months.
Yeah, I'm going to guess it might be a little bit longer than 6 months. But, yeah, I mean,
So, like, yeah, we don't have some things, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we definitely do not have some things that were in the movie, but we have a lot of other crazy shit.
You know, I feel like they really rushed forward with that hoverboard thing. The, what I'm talking about now is, like, the actual hoverboard. The, who put that out? Lexus or somebody? Where it, like, somehow runs on these, superconductor magnet things.
Uh-huh.
That will, they have to keep pouring in, like, liquid nitrogen, because it has to stay, like, at minus, whatever, 200 degrees for it to work. But it actually does hover over the ground, so.
Oh, well, that's...
Technically, they have a hoverboard.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, it is, but it's like, they just did that, not because it's practical, but really just because of that movie, and it's 2015. And they're like, okay, we could do it if we did this. Of course, you know, it doesn't really, it wouldn't work in the real world. Like, you couldn't use it as transportation, but, you know, it'd be a fun little toy, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you would be fairly stationary. Like, however long a nitrogen hose cord could be, would be your, it'd kind of be like a leash.
Well, yeah, I think they've shown it where it's just, you know, it's not attached to anything, but it's, you know, it's like got the sublimating liquid coming out, like, because it turns right to air. So you see, like, the, it's not steam, of course, but it's the, whatever's coming off of the liquid nitrogen.
Right.
Like, if you were to drop some, you know, dry ice into a glass of water, you would see a lot of bubbling going on and some fog-like thing. So that it's a fog. Thank you, Kevin. Way to help me out, man. I'm there, like, struggling, like, in the middle of the ocean with, like, no land in sight. Kevin, is there a lifeboat? He's got the...
I didn't have a life preserver or a ring. Because I had no idea what you were going for. I had no idea what you were going for. It evaporated into air. I don't know why...
I was hoping we wouldn't, you know, we'd be able to come back from our little break here and kind of just
fire it off.
Yeah, just go right in smooth. But, oh my gosh. It's not, if you know, we need to have a little bit of teamwork, is all I'm saying.
Well, God. I apologize for not knowing when you needed teamwork.
You're supposed to, like, read my mind and know what I need before I know it. That's what a good partner does.
Well, a good partner can keep on going with the Back to the Future talk.
So, I guess one of the videos we'll probably link to here that just came out recently was this Cinefix YouTube video of breaking down, well, a lot of the movie, really, but particular dealing with the Clock Tower finale.
Well, and I thought that that was really a little misleading because they really took you from tail to snout of how this movie got developed. True. I did kind of, it left me wanting to know why the writing process was so hard for this movie. 'Cause he said it was hell.
Right.
But, you know, for a 4 or 5 minute explainer, they tossed a shit ton of information out there.
Yeah.
About this movie. And again, like, I'm not one of the super fans that have watched it and watched it and watched it again.
The movie Back to the Future.
Yeah. So I don't know, like, all of these details that they packed in. So, I mean, it was pretty interesting to me. It was a bit of a refresher. Again, I loved the movie when I was a kid, but... you know, it's just not one of those ones that I really, like, latched onto that much.
Yeah, I would recommend checking out that video. It's because it is kind of, you know, and you do pick up, I think, a few things that you may not have been aware of. Like, I had heard before that Eric Stoltz was originally cast for the character of Marty McFly, who was later played by Michael J. Fox, of course. But I had never seen the actual film of him, the dailies of him playing the role on film.
Yeah, that was pretty cool seeing the actual, you know, different scenes with him in it instead of Marty. And just, it was always just like, oh, you always think that it's something, well, I mean, I guess it is something bad that they didn't feel like he could play the part.
Right.
But it really wasn't, because they're just like, he's a really good actor, but he just doesn't quite fit this role.
Yes. And watching the parts that they had there of him, I could understand, because he just looked a little, like, way too serious to me. Like, Michael J. Fox in that movie is just, like, so, like, flustered and bewildered, like, the whole time when he goes back to, like, 1955 and, like, just, like, in a daze looking around and, like, he just, you know, everybody just, in Doc Brown, too, they talk about how he's just, like, overreacting all the time. And it is just such, like, a, you know.
It's a cartoon, in some way, a cartoony level.
Yes.
Movie.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, if you sit down and think about it, some of the stuff doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Like, how could you time it to the exact, like, millisecond that the lightning is going to strike the clock, you know?
Yeah, that would be really tough. Because even though they knew the minute that it was going to strike, I mean, you do have, well, yeah, it would just be really tough because, oh, well, and they mentioned it, how the car didn't start.
Well, I guess we should say we're going to say some spoilers here for Back to the Future.
Yes, for a movie that is 30 years old, we are throwing out some spoilers.
Well, I'm glad I got in there with that. That was a close one. We really dodged a bullet. So yeah, that was an interesting the ending, because they had to, you know, time the lightning bolt with right when the car was getting to where the clock tower was, so that they could harness that energy.
And it just so happened that a lightning bolt supplies just the right amount of energy to transfer down.
Yeah, without being too much either, which was nice. but they did a good job of, like, breaking down that whole scene and just, like, all the little things that went wrong. And it wasn't, like, you know, big, like, special effects. It was just kind of, like, people's reaction shots and, like, Doc Brown's, like, bugging his eyes out. Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, bugging his eyes out a lot.
Right.
A lot.
And way overreacting. And Michael Jackson. Michael J. Fox as well. But it just works really great, and it was a fun to just watch that again, I would say.
Yeah, and it was pretty interesting to me. They were talking about the visual effects, and that was pretty interesting how they had to do the lightning. That it was actually a hand-drawn lightning bolt, because they couldn't do that... Yeah. It could not be computer generated then, Ken.
No, that was not far from when they came out with the movie Tron, I believe. which, yeah, that did not look like real stuff there. No,
and Tron still blew everyone's mind.
Yeah, exactly. so yeah, it was actually like a rotoscope kind of process where they drew, like, kind of traced over the film with this other layer that you know, they could take the negative from, and then, like, color
make
in
a negative of the negative
to make it look like lightning, and animate that, which seemed like that was a lot of work to do by hand, which is, yeah, people would not have to do that anymore. I mean, I don't know, it's
there would be somebody punching it in on their mouse and or keyboard,
for better or for worse. I don't know. I was always bothered in that scene, though, because, you know, I guess I was willing to go along for the ride for a good part of that. But in the final moment, like I said, spoiler alert, Doc Brown puts the two connections together finally, like the part that had broken apart the second time on the ground level. He puts the connection together just as the lightning is striking. And you can see the animated lightning bolt is actually going through the cable and, like, lighting it up like an arc, you know, it's like an arc of lightning
right
in his hands.
Yeah.
He, you know, like we said, overreacts and you know, maybe not at this point though, this might be right on the money acting, because his eyes bug open and he's flipping out because there's lightning in his hands. Now, you would think that would severely screw somebody up, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, it still
like,
was...
Like, fuse all their hands together, fingers together, at least, or something, like, you know, permanently damaging.
Because, I mean, it was inside of conduit, though, wasn't it?
It like, was.
I mean, the glow on the outside was more special effect. So, I mean, in reality, if he's grabbing it and the lightning got into the conduit itself and was carrying along the wires, so, you really wouldn't be shocked. You'd just be holding on to a giant rubber hose that contained a lot of energy.
But if... Okay. So, are you saying that... Okay. This is what I want to know. Are you saying that what we see as the audience is just sort of like... In the imagination of the characters, like, that lightning bolt that we saw was just sort of... I mean, was that Doc Brown visualizing the lightning energy that's traveling through there? Or is it just in our imaginations and it's not really part of the special effects? I don't understand.
Well, it is part of the special effects, but that isn't the way it should work.
Oh.
I think it is maybe. Just a choice on the director's part to enhance the image.
Well, for sure, because there's lightning but the going lightning down should... that cable.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, if it's covered in rubber, you're protected from it. Just like any other electrical line that you would install in your house.
Oh, man. I don't know. I feel like if things have gotten to the point where it's just like white hot lightning traveling down this cable, that is not good news. Like, you should not be able to just have your hands on that. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
from what okay. I'm just saying, calling it literally like I see it. There's that much lightning. Like, I was willing to go along with everything else in that scene. You know, him like sliding down the cable. Somehow there was enough tension at the other end, even though it had already become unplugged.
Wasn't it caught in the tree?
Yeah, it was. So, like,
so
I was able to...
There should be some tension in it still.
I was able to go along with that a little bit. But yeah, that part, like, I feel like he should have just put it together and then got his hands off just in time, and then the lightning goes through.
That would have made sense.
That seems like such an easy fix.
And
I
thought he was at least a little bit shocked during that scene. Am I incorrect?
I would say emotionally, if not physically, that I could tell. I mean, he seemed surprised. He reacted, certainly, as if he were being shocked electrically, but...
Yeah, I mean...
He showed no signs of any ill effect that I could tell.
And I mean, I'm not sure if I've told the story about sitting in the electric chair or not on the show.
This may have been, for some of our longtime listeners, they may have remembered this. I believe this was a science fair project.
No, just made by some of my friends and the AP physics teacher at the high school. Wasn't for a fair.
It was made with the teacher?
Yes.
That part might have gotten left out last time.
Well, yeah. And when you have electric... come through you. I mean, it does. I mean, it gives you a jolt.
Sure. Now,
so I mean, if that level was coming through and he kind of felt it, then yeah, on the outside, I guess there was some energy and he probably should be dead right now.
Now, was there at this electric chair you're talking about, did you see that there was like white lightning streaks coming out when they were doing when they were using this thing? Okay. So that seems to me like it's maybe a little bit different than what
Doc Brown was
dealing with there. Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying the physical practicalities that really the outside shouldn't be glowing.
No.
Like there's
that's
no
not
reason
healthy.
For that to happen.
That's just not healthy. That's not good for you. You should not grab onto something that is white hot lightning. I mean, I guess you could argue that it's not going to go through you. It's kind of just going through the cable.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, he probably is wearing rubber boots, right?
Well, and I thought that he was wearing rubber gloves at the time, too. Or did he take the gloves off?
Oh. You know what? I think I might have turned around on this one. I think I'm okay with that part, too. This is a flawless movie.
I've beaten you down enough now.
I will admit it. It takes a man to say when he's wrong. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I guess that's the late Jerry Arbaugh from... Dirty Dancing. Yes, there we go. Of course. But yeah, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong, Kevin. And I was wrong about that. That movie is flawless. There's nothing that you can argue with there.
Fatality. Yes. Flawless.
Flawless victory.
Flawless for victory. You.
I guess, you know, speaking of expert editing and
special effects.
Special, you know, I almost said restrained use of special effects, but I don't think that's really true in this case. Although it is special effects used to good end, I would say. But they throw in a lot here during the course of this video.
Yeah, it was called Hell's Club. There's a lot of visual medium this week because the whole movie topic.
Yeah, and we're all about we like films here, you know?
What can we that say? Was really fascinating because they spliced together a large number of movies into one big long dance scene.
Yes.
And all of them took place in a nightclub of some era.
Yes.
So, I guess I was looking for the right word.
Yeah, nightclubs, I would say. So it was basically a bunch of different movies that had a similar kind of setting, right?
Correct.
And a lot of times it was, you know, even the same actor playing different roles that they would splice together. So, like, you know, for instance, I can't remember his name. The British guy who was in Trainspotting and he played Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And I almost called him Liam Neeson, but Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor, yes, that's right. He was... playing Obi-Wan Kenobi, at the beginning, he walked in with young Darth Vader there, Anakin Skywalker.
Yes.
Christian...
Haydenson
or something like that? Yeah. Hayden Christensen? Something like that.
Yeah, it was Hayden Christensen.
Okay, there we go. I knew we would get it if we put our heads together there, Kevin. See, this is what I'm talking about. We're like, on the same page again. We're, like...
Back at it.
Yeah.
It took us 20 minutes. We're getting there, audience.
We're clicking now. Okay, that's good. But yeah, so they clipped that together and like just all these different like movies that kind of surprised you, I guess, in a good way. Like
some of them I was not all that familiar with.
Yeah.
Some of them I was familiar with.
There was John Travolta from Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, that played a big part in it.
But also John Travolta from Pulp Fiction as Vincent Vega. So yeah, it's just funny like to see those guys in the same scene. It sounds like it could be cheesy, but actually like the way they filmed put it together, like it's like characters like there was Tom Cruise from Cocktail, who was like checking out. Or they were like,
oh, Tom Cruise from, was it? Because, and that was kind of the interesting thing. They showed all the different movies at the end of this video of what they spliced from.
Yeah, that's a good
and
one.
It was a fairly extensive list of movies.
Yeah.
Like, because there were a couple on there that I didn't even catch that were all, like, True Romance was one of the movies listed. And I did not remember, I missed Christian Slater or,
I think it whoever. Was, Gary Oldman, wasn't he in that movie?
Was he yes,
that? He was like that, they had him in that part where he was, like, looking really creepy there.
Oh, okay.
if you remember, he was just kind of like staring at the people dancing with like really messed up looking teeth and eyes and just in general. But Collateral was the name of that movie with Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx, where he was the assassin. So that he had like gray hair in that movie.
Oh, okay.
So that's the one where he is coming into contact with himself in Cocktail as younger Tom Cruise. And it just kind of like they're, you know, the way that they splice these looks together, it just kind of like feels like they're actually in the same movie.
Yeah, I mean, they made you feel like they were interacting with each other, whether it was, you know, two of the same person interacting with each other or just any of the characters interacting. They did a really fantastic job of putting this together. Like I that was one of the funnier things I've seen in a while.
Because there was two Al Pacino characters too. I'm trying to think. He was in Scarface was the one for sure.
Yes, and Carlito's Way.
Okay, yeah, because he was Carlito.
That's yes, right. Yeah.
But those two characters were talking to each other for a little bit, or I don't even know if they talked to each other. Because I think some of like the best things were just like real subtle. Like it was not even spoken dialogue. It was just kind of like walking towards somebody or like, you know, exchanging glances.
Of a silent movie type of thing. The only thing that was, excuse me. The only thing that had a really long talking scene was when there was a giant gun battle that happened and Carlito got gunned down.
Yeah.
The ending to this club montage was a shootout with
If you think it's just going to be dancing and, you know, people hanging out at a club, it picks up, you know. There's a little something for everybody, I guess you could say. But yeah, there's actually several bouts of gunplay, I believe, because one of the other guests is Arnold Schwarzenegger as the Terminator from the original Terminator movie.
Yes.
The scene at the club where he at one point gets blown through the window and gets back up again. Yeah, that was well done because he had to keep coming back and like starting fight again. And like the music was pretty cool because it was like basically Staying Alive, the Bee Gees song,
Disco song,
but which worked well with
John Travolta's
character. Yeah, obviously with Saturday Night Fever. And they also did mixing it in with like a lot of different songs and like really changing it up, like when the mood was changing and like there was kind of like more tension, like the song would change. It was just really a neat job of editing.
Yeah, it was fantastically edited, and even the lighting and the backgrounds of all of it seemed to go with the music at all times. So no matter what era, and I mean, they really did draw like 70s, 80s, 90s movies.
Yeah, because they
had... Or even 2000s.
They had The Matrix in there, too.
Well, they had Bill and Ted. They had him in there as Bill and Ted.
Oh, no, I think that was The Matrix,
right? Or was that The Matrix?
Because I'm pretty sure he says, whoa, in The Matrix.
Oh, okay, well, maybe it was just two different Matrix scenes.
No, because I think the one was The Matrix, and then maybe the other one was like... a recent one or Johnny Mnemonic or something along those lines.
Oh, I was trying to figure out the one that he had the gun might have been Johnny Mnemonic.
It was one of those sort of things. Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of the other movie that came out that was similar. I felt like to that he would have had the same kind of outfit, a similar outfit on, but whatever the case.
Oh, wait, what was that called? Chain Reaction or something like that. He was in with Morgan Freeman. I don't know. That could have been a similar thing. There's no way to know, Kevin.
No, none whatsoever.
So that was fun. Oh, yeah. Keanu Reeves seeing himself getting gunned down and saying, whoa, was that alone was worth the price of admission for me. I was just on board for anything after that. Which, at some point, there was like a bunch of like goofy stuff going on, which might have bothered me the first time around. But then by the second time, like that I just watched it here recently, I'm fully on board with that too. It's just, it's all good fun, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I can't take something like that too serious. Like, I don't go all critical eye on something like that. I can't believe that's the way they spliced that together. Like, I mean, I thought it was impressive that a couple of times I felt like one character was spliced almost perfectly into another movie, and they were moving, which I thought was a very cool effect.
Yeah.
Where it almost seemed like their motion matched the motion that was going on within the other movie, which...
There was definitely times when they were able to kind of like take two different like parts of two different scenes and like, or even more, and kind of drop them in together so that like one part of the frame might be one movie and, you know, the other side is not. And like, you know, I can remember seeing a time when it was like a pull focus kind of shot where you could see the distance was in focus and then they switch and then you can see, you know, the close up becomes in focus.
Oh,
and like it's
right.
two different movies, but it looks like it's the same, same shot. So that was pretty cool. Like stuff like that. It's just fun to watch. I recommend doing it on your big screen if you can, just because it was better for me than watching it on my phone the first time, I think too. It didn't get the full, treatment, since it is like a bunch of different movie clips, which originally
you were
meant
on a big
to be
screen.
On the big screen, yeah.
There was I took a break in Raw coverage this week to look at one of the new films that will be coming to the big screen.
Oh, that's right,
and that is Star Wars.
Dum-ba-dum, episode 7.
Yes,
The Force Awakens.
Yes, it does.
So there was the latest trailer, I think the last trailer that they're coming out with before the release of the movie in December 18th, I want to say.
Oh, gotcha.
So,
yeah, because I was happy to know that it and Quentin Tarantino's movie... The Hateful Eight are not debuting the same weekend.
Yeah, that's probably good for those movies too. That would just be too much of a good thing at one time, I think.
Yeah, because I am very excited about that one too.
Yeah, but this trailer seemed, I don't know, like there was nothing really bad about it at all.
Well, and that was kind of funny. Like, I saw some people, like, trying to poop on it, like, that it didn't show anything new. And, I guess it didn't really show anything important, but it's kind of funny. Like, I don't want to see too much important go on.
Right.
Like, to me, I feel like some of the people that are complaining about it are the same people that complain that they give away too much in trailers most of the time.
You know what? It might be different people, though. It's just, like, you can't make everybody happy. Like, everybody has their own opinions. Like, there's always going to be some people who aren't going to be happy with anything. Like, this...
Well...
I'd say 20% of people are just never going to be happy with any situation. Like, it's just... It might not be the same 20%, but there's going to be a 20% of people out there who are just not going to like it. So, you know, I hate to get on these rants here, Kevin, but...
those damn
you
people.
You got me going again. Yeah. I'm really anti-20%er.
But I really enjoyed what they presented. I love just seeing the designs of the new aircraft. And things of that nature. You know what? I guess it was kind of shown. Everyone's like, oh, there was some interest in the African-American stormtrooper.
Right. I think I saw something about that. Like, boycott episode 7 or something. Hashtag people were starting. Because, oh, there's a black person in the Star Wars movie. Which I'm pretty sure, you know, has that ever happened before, Kevin? Has there ever been a black person in a Star Wars movie?
Well, that was kind of funny when people were like, isn't one of the main characters in the first set of movies black?
Yeah, that's true, actually. I think so.
Lando Calrissian is definitely...
he was like the boss of his own planet there or something. City, was that it?
And who can ever forget his Colt 45 commercials?
No. Well, it's a... I think he lived off the coolness of this character, too. I mean, this guy was a smooth character. He was trying to move in there on Princess Leia, I feel like.
Yeah, I think was trying to mack on her a little bit.
And maybe she wasn't altogether opposed to that idea. I don't think so. And this would have been a kind of a risque move back in the 80s when interracial relations were even more frowned upon than today. So, yeah, that was Lando Calrissian for you.
Yeah, so...
I should say Samuel L. Jackson played the head of the Jedi Council, who was...
Well, was he the head?
A dark-skinned, yes. Yeah.
I thought that Yoda was still the head, honestly. And that, I mean, not that he wasn't in the council. I mean, he was one of the top guys.
Yes.
But I did not feel like he was top of the totem pole.
Yeah, he was at the tippity top as far as I could. Now, Yoda was definitely, like, up there. But I feel like he was kind of like an advisor. Like, maybe he had at one point been the head of the council. But,
No, he had stepped down because he was already too old.
Yoda's a pretty old dude, yeah. Yeah, he's pretty old. I mean, what, 900 or something like that, supposedly, I think.
Oh, is that what his age was?
Yeah.
Man, so, he really gutted that thing out.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how long his species is normally supposed to live, but that does seem like a ripe old age, I gotta say. So, yeah, Mace Windu, played by Samuel L. Jackson,
Yes, another black,
yes,
African American fellow in a.
I believe so. Yeah, as far as I can tell, Samuel L. Jackson is African American.
Yeah, so there's at least two. I guess the point I was getting to is that we have this one is not indeed a stormtrooper though. He is a Jedi.
That's what it seems like to me too, because he was using a lightsaber. Which could have been, I've heard, Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. That's what I read online, at least.
Well, and I felt like I didn't maybe dawn on me in the first place, but I feel like they've gone traditional, and the good guys' lightsabers are blue. Evil lightsabers are red.
Yes. Well,
I know that there's some green thrown in there.
I hate to nerd out here, but I'm pretty sure that the Jedi Knights would make their own lightsabers, like personally, from whatever kind of crystals that they could find or something. Like they would kind of go out and like make it themselves.
Yeah.
So like everybody could have their own color of lightsaber. And I'm not sure how much of that had to do with Samuel L. Jackson insisting on having a purple lightsaber for his character. Which, I don't know. I remember hearing that somewhere. I might have made that up, but...
and I honestly don't remember what color his lightsaber was, but I feel like that distinction seemed to hold up, at least from what I was viewing in the trailer. I could be wrong on that count, too, but whatever. That definitely has a violet tint to it.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it's purple, but you could say violet if you like.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, fine. Now, this is exactly right where I didn't want us to be, Kevin.
At odds is perfectly okay. It works with the guy going smooth. There's got to be some rough edges,
I guess,
too.
A little bit of friction. That's right.
Yep.
Makes things interesting. But, so I'm pretty psyched still, obviously, about Star Wars. Nothing in this trailer dimmed my psychedness, if that's a an expression that I can use.
Right. And, you know, it's kind of one of those funny things that it is one of those things you need to think back on. It's just like, weren't you kind of excited for episode 1, 2, and 3? Although, I think that by 3, I was beaten down. I think I was just like, I've got to see this, but I'm not expecting as much.
Right.
Like, I had kind of soured on the product.
Yeah, it's like towards the end of the football season, and your team is just, you just realize they're not that good. And, you know, you're still going to go see the game just because, you know, they're your team, but you're really not expecting much.
Yeah, it's maybe Bill Simmons might describe it, dead man walking. The funeral rites aren't quite there yet, but you're still trudging through it.
Exactly. But I would say this seems to me like, you know, there's been some good draft picks in the offseason. What you're hearing out of training camp sounds good.
The rookies look good at the combine.
Yes, exactly. There's been a little bit of a, you know, little preseason, if you will, here and there. What you've seen has been good. So I would say that, you know, you're thinking Super Bowl at this point. If you are going to take that analogy forward a little bit, in reference to the latest Star Wars movie.
Yes.
That's pretty clear, right?
Right.
Yes.
And I, of course, I just had a lot of faith in J.J. Abrams because he took really something that I wasn't all that into, which was Star Trek. And I liked his vision of it a bit more than previous ones.
Yes.
So I have made a point of actually seeing the more recent ones. So I was always kind of excited about him doing this too. So
yeah, I mean, he does adventure really well, I feel like, and that is like what this calls for. So it should be good. Of course, it could still be lackluster, but I just found the people who were like anti the movie because there's a black person in it was just ridiculous. I guess at the same time, I wasn't that surprised that there's ridiculous people on the internet.
It seems that
does seem to be a pattern of some kind.
There was one ridiculous man who got so high in the fine state of Ohio, mind you.
Really?
Yes. And
people get high in Ohio?
Yeah, people get high in Ohio.
Okay.
And sometimes they call the police.
Wait a minute. They get high and then they call the police. Why would they do that?
Because they are too high on pot.
Oh. You don't say.
I do say. In Austintown, which if you want to be more generic, you could say in Youngstown.
Yes, one of the suburbs of Youngstown.
A
Rust Belt city in the Midwest.
A 22-year-old young adult called into the police.
Right.
And said that he was too high. And he was found with a plethora of Doritos, Pepperidge Farm Goldfish, and Chips Ahoy cookies.
yeah
which was that's the greatest. Of endless amusement to me.
That is the greatest part. He was surrounded by these things. Like he was just in the middle of a circle of like all this junk food. I think that could have been what made him call the police. Like he just looked around and saw like all this stuff and was like, what is happening here? What am I doing with myself? Why am I surrounded by Pepperidge Farm, Goldfish, Chips Ahoy cookies, and Doritos? A plethora of the Doritos.
Yes, plethora. I did love the use of plethora.
I'm assuming there was like a bunch of different singles bags, different flavors. But, you know, that's just what
I mean, maybe it was just one big bag that was spilled everywhere.
Now, the word plethora just makes me think of, like, a lot of different kinds. So, I don't know. You know, there's no image along with this article, although I believe they do include the 911 call itself.
Yeah, they do include it, and it's fairly short. And then he was charged with possession and drug paraphernalia.
Because I believe he then took them out and showed them where the rest of his marijuana was.
I believe he told them...
Yes, he did end up giving it to them, but...
Yeah, because that's... I was just trying to read...
The funny thing is there was no medical treatment.
Oh, yeah, he gave his keys to the police officer and told him where the stuff was in his vehicle.
Yeah, like, there is no need to do this sort of thing.
Even if you are too high.
Yes. Anyone out there, maybe right now, if you're too high and you're listening to us.
Just don't call the police.
Yeah, number one. Step one, don't call the police. And
step two, still don't call the police.
Yeah, you're going to have to keep not calling the police throughout this process.
Step three, ride it out.
Yeah, drink some water maybe, or, you know, find something that's like a snack food or like a candy bar.
Yeah, you don't need to have a plethora of them.
You don't need a plethora of Doritos and Pepperidge Farms, Goldfish, and
Chips Ahoy
cookies. Although, you know what? If you were going to go with one of those, I would say go with the Chips Ahoy cookies. Just saying.
Yeah, the Chips Ahoy cookies would work out pretty well. I would think.
Do you need to use this here, Kevin?
Yes, I do.
We had a minor issue here with our... And I'm just amazed that I don't think we've lost our recording yet, have we?
No, we have not lost the recording yet. I might lose my computer tomorrow. Yes. I will find out.
Kevin, for some reason, decided to let loose a fountain of water into the air over his laptop. And
not quite sure what happened with the handle there on my water bottle, but it went awry. And now I've got to pray and hope that not too much water got into my computer.
Well, maybe we should wrap this episode up here before we go short out.
And I will get it uploaded. Sippy Time Beer of the Week, and literally it was only one. Clown Shoes Galactica, 8% Imperial Indian Pale Ale. Maybe a smidge hoppy for me, but I do love the hop combination. It is very tasty.
If you want the hoppy IPA, this is really not a bad choice. A little on the pricey side, you get the 4-pack for about what you pay for like a normal 6-pack of a good beer. But, you know, if you really don't need that many, I would say... Like,
8% again. Yeah. It does the trick.
So you get the flavor and you can kind of spread it out over time. It's all good. I say give it a shot if you like really hoppy IPAs, which, you know, a lot of people do these days.
So for @Frango11, @Gozer33, for the brand @StuntGranny, have a good night.
Later.